Turn tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5, please. Revelation, chapter number 5. Well, to begin reading this evening with verse 1 of this great chapter, and I don't know how far we'll be able to get tonight if I don't finish the message this evening. There's always, unless the rapture takes place, Tuesday night to finish it. So anyway, let me begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book of the four beasts and the 24 elders, fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight we thank you for the reading of the precious Word of God. We thank you for the great chapter that this chapter is in the book of Revelation. We thank you for the great truths that are found in this precious chapter. My Father, tonight I pray for the ability, for the anointing. Lord, for the divine enabling to be able this evening to preach this precious portion of Scripture. And to not only honor and do justice to this context, but Father, may the Holy Spirit see fit to use it this evening to encourage and challenge our hearts and help us to understand the fact that God's timetable, God's schedule, God's calendar is still on track. Now, Lord, bless us tonight and speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin by saying tonight, as we look at this chapter, the chapter begins with the word and. That helps us to understand that actually there is really not a break in chapter. This is basically a continuation of chapter 4. The word and indicating that seen is in heaven, and we can see with the word and there's a continuation of the great truths that are given out in reference to that scene. Tonight, as we begin this message, I want to approach it this evening, sort of give an outline of this chapter. It's going to be my attention, my emphasis, my effort to just simply work our way through this chapter and to see a division that is recognizable in this chapter. The seven sealed book is the topic, the theme of this particular chapter. I want to begin this evening as we consider that to, first of all, let's look at the significance of this chapter. The significance of this chapter. Understand tonight that we would lack the ability to fully understand, to appreciate the rest of the book of Revelation without the understanding of what goes on in chapter 5. This is certainly a key chapter. the question would come up, what is it about this seven-sealed book? What's the significance of the seven-sealed book? I would like to say tonight that the seven-sealed book pertains to the completion of God's redemptive plan. The completion of God's redemptive plan. I mean by that, redemption, which involves the soul at salvation, the body at the rapture, there also will be an aspect of redemption pertaining to the earth itself. The earth will be redeemed. Now remember this, with the opening of these seven seals, we can see a successive order of judgments that begin to take place upon this earth. The opening of the seven seals. I would also mention the ancient Roman wheel was a book of seven seals. The ancient Roman wheel. As we go through the book of Revelation from this point on, we find this. Each seal is opened in successive order. When you come to the seventh seal, that would begin the seven trumpets. You come to the seventh trumpet when it sounded, that would begin the seven vials. This sounds a little strange. How could we be talking about judgment and redemption at the same time? How could the idea of judgment reflect upon redemption of this earth? Well, here's how that would happen. When it comes to the redemption of this earth, which will take place, God will judge this earth. The judgment of this earth is going to be a final part of the redemption of this earth. God is going to right all wrongs. God's going to correct the evil. God's going to deal with sin. God's going to take care of the violence. So the redemption of this earth will involve the judgments upon this earth. So keep that in mind. I would mention tonight that we've heard this statement before, all is well that ends well. There's truth to that. All is well that ends well. I want to say tonight, things are going to end well. I know that we're hearing quite the contrast when it comes. It's a bad thing about trying to eat and preach at the same time with a minute mouth. I know that there's a problem in people today seeing anything good coming out of society the way we know it. Wars, rumors of war. Threat of ISIS. Everything seems to be coming unraveled at the seams. Approaching $19 trillion debt. The chaos among nations. The diseases that are plaguing people today that are wiping out a sizable amount of human beings that there's no cure for. We look at economy. We look at politics. We look at the wars. We look at the Muslim terror threat. We don't see a whole lot of future, do we? It seems like this society as we know it is coming to a dead-end street. It's gloom and doom if we do nothing but read the newspaper. It's gloom and doom if we do nothing but listen to politicians. I heard Brother Martin one time say, the solution for culture is not a political solution. It is a spiritual solution. The answer, the hope, is from the spiritual aspect. In other words, here's the point I'm making tonight. What we see taking place in Revelation chapter 5 is God eventually dealing with this earth. And redemption of this earth, of the world, will take place. Creation groaneth and travaileth, even in pain, even now, awaiting the adoption, to wit, I know, the redemption of our bodies, but even creation itself is groaning. So God is going to redeem this earth. Now, what's the purpose of it all? You see, there's a bright future. This seven-sealed book, I believe, also includes God's covenant with Israel. Christ is coming back. The Lord will rule and reign. There will be peace upon this earth. Jesus himself will rule. ISIS will not be in control. The Lord will be in control. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, as we see here in this precious chapter, will be ruling. The significance of the chapter. The document is held in the right hand of the one on the throne. And I believe that that seven-sealed document contains the future and the climax of human history. Do you know, no nation has ever, nor will it ever, possess a document of the importance of the one in chapter 5 of Revelation. No person has ever had a document. No nation has ever had a document that will match this document we're reading about here. I thank God today, as you do, for the Declaration of Independence. I thank the Lord for the charter of our nation. We can be thankful for major documents that define nations in terms of what they are, and specifically in our case, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, etc. But let me tell you something. There's no document that man has ever drafted that will begin to compare to this one here in Revelation chapter 5. This is a key chapter in the book. I believe in Revelation chapter 5 we have a parallel verse or portion in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, I believe that Daniel made reference to this scroll. He said, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy Daniel, thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time." The prophet was told the words were sealed until the end of time. That's Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Now the sealing is going to be taken out. Now there's going to be an unsealing. And that's what happens in this chapter. Let's move on. The significance of the chapter. This is a key chapter if we are to appreciate, to understand the book of Revelation, and furthermore, if we're to understand God's completion in redemption. When you and I came to Christ as a sinner, our soul got redeemed. When the Lord comes back, our body will get redeemed. And when the Lord begins to open this seal, the earth will be redeemed. You see, in the final end, the earth itself will actually be purged by fire. But the judgments of the tribulation are a part of God's redemption of the planet earth. In other words, it's going to take severity in judgment for God to straighten this earth out. Because sin is rampant. Sin is out of control. Sin is tragic. Sin is destructive. Sin has turned this world into a wilderness. But God is going to straighten out this earth. The significance of the chapter. Number two. Let's look at the scroll itself. Verse 1, chapter 5. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. When John, as he was on the Isle of Patmos, given the book of Revelation, He could see the book. He could see it was written on the outside and on the inside. He beheld it. The scroll, you see, sealed with seven seals. What is the scroll? I believe the scroll, this represents the unveiling of God's purposes for this world. The unveiling of God's purposes for this world is about to be carried out. When we go throughout the rest of Revelation, we're going to see the seals are being opened and things begin to happen. The timing, you ask this question, when will this take place? When? I'll tell you what I believe myself. Now, much that we say and much that we preach and much of our thoughts, all we can do is just simply, we study the Bible, we try to compare Scripture with Scripture, we try to pull it together in our thinking, and sometimes we simply come up with what seems to match best with what we think based upon comparing Scripture with Scripture. The opening of the seven-sealed book will take place after the church has gone out, after the rapture has taken place. Because when we keep reading, we see there are 24 elders in heaven around the throne. It would seem that the 24 elders and most Bible prophetic students, reputable Bible students whom we respect, Dwight Pentecost, John Walvoord, Charles Ryrie, men who were great prophetic students would agree that the 24 elders would seemingly, and we could bring J. Vernon McGee, Harry Ironside, various others, they would agree that the 24 elders are representative of the church, representative of the church, the body of Christ. When will this take place? After the rapture of the church. After the rapture. This will not take place. The judgment, and here's a good reason. God has not appointed the church to wrath. According to what Paul says in Thessalonians, we've not been appointed to wrath. When the scrolls are opened, wrath will take place. The church will not be on this earth during the tribulation. We will be taken out because the day of wrath that's coming upon this earth is also comparable to the 70th week of Daniel. The 70th week of Daniel. Now, you know, tonight I know when you preach prophecy, you get confused looks. But I'm going to tell you something. I just believe this evening it behooves us to know all we can about great prophetic truths. It's good to know these things. I enjoy standing up here and preaching on, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, a message of salvation. Thank God for that. But I tell you, I'm thrilled also about what's coming in the future. And it's good to know these things. The church will not go through the tribulation. The church has not been appointed to that day of wrath. This is a church age. This is a day of grace. 69 weeks of the 70 weeks have run their course. God will again resume His dealing with Israel during the tribulation period. When the seals are being opened, judgments take place upon this earth, but the church will have a ringside seat in glory at that time. The scroll. The subject of the scroll is redemption. Redemption. There is no way you and I can think of redemption without thinking of the Redeemer. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. You will notice here in Revelation chapter 5, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now, we could argue this. It would seem to be the case. The book is taken out of him, out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. and handed to someone else that's seated on the throne. Well, that's seated. What I'm saying tonight is a seven-sealed book winds up in the hand of the Lamb of God. The seven-sealed book winds up in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this. He ascended back to heaven, according to what Hebrews said, he sat down. He completed redemption. He would not have to function like an Old Testament priest that never finished the work. Every single year, back into the Holy of Holies, back out, back into the Holy of Year, Holy, year after year on the Day of Atonement. But no, Jesus sat down. He paid sin's debt in full. He will never have to come back and die again. It's taken care of. When we think of this book pertaining to the redemption of this earth, the only person qualified to open that book is the Redeemer himself, who sat down. We're told in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 6, the Bible says the marks, I'm prefacing this verse by this statement. The marks for the redemption are seen on the hands of the one who opens the scroll. Did you notice when I read? It was opened by the Lamb who had been slain. You know, I believe tonight that right now in heaven, there are those visible marks, visible scars on the hands of those, on the hand of Him who paid the price of our redemption on the cross. The only thing in heaven made by man are the scars on the body of Jesus Christ. What's going to happen in the future? When Israel comes back, or when the Lord comes back rather, and Israel's eyes will be opened, what are they going to recognize? They're going to recognize those same scars. Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 6. Zechariah 13, verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? You see, he's carrying those wounds throughout eternity. You and I will see those wounds throughout eternity. One will say, what are those wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. The house of my friends. We see here in Revelation chapter 5, we see the Lamb. Behold, in the midst of the throne stood a Lamb. Now we see the Lamb standing as it had been slain. As it had been slain. I'm saying tonight that redemption is a subject of Scripture's Old and New Testament. So therefore, it should not be any surprise to us to understand that the subject of redemption is also found in the book of Revelation, and in this case, it pertains to the earth itself that will be redeemed. You heard me right when I said redemption is a subject of Old and New Testament. Redemption is not a new theme in the New Testament. Redemption is not something new. When we come to New Testament, redemption is a theme of Old and New Testament. You find Christ in the Old Testament like you do the New Testament. You see redemption needed. Now think about this. The Lamb is seen standing in Revelation 5. The Lion. He's a Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's a Lamb. That's not the only time the word Lamb is used either. You know, interestingly enough, the Lamb has always been required for redemption. You go back and read the account, Genesis 22. A Lamb was required for an individual. Ram was called in the thicket. Abraham, Isaac. Follow the course of history. It broadens. A lamb was required for an individual then. Later, a lamb was required for a family. Now go to Exodus 12. Family. They'd take a lamb, they'd slay the lamb. On the Passover night, they'd apply the blood to the lintels of the door. There you have a lamb for a family. You had a lamb for an individual. You had a lamb for a family. Now, later, you see a lamb for a nation. Isaiah 53, I think it's verse number 8. Isaiah 53, verse number 8. Let me read it. Isaiah 53, verse number 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The transgression of my people. He was a lamb for the individual. He became a lamb for a family. He became a lamb for a nation. And then follow me now. We come to John 1, verse number 29. When John the Baptist is baptizing on the River Jordan, approaching him is the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. John looks at him. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." A lamb for an individual. A lamb for a family. A lamb for a nation. Now he's a lamb for the world. The Bible's about the lamb. The lamb. The lamb was prophesied in the Old Testament. The lamb became identified in the New Testament. The lamb was crucified on Calvary. And in the book of Revelation, the lamb's on the throne. He's exalted. The lamb was prophesied. The lamb was crucified, and now the Lamb's exalted. You see, only the Lamb is found worthy to open that book. Only the Redeemer can do the redemption. Only Him. Only Him. I'm saying tonight, redemption is a subject of Scripture's Old and New Testament. There are two passages of Scripture that comes to my mind when I think of redemption. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of God. Of His glory. When will be the redemption of the purchased possession? The redemption of the purchased possession will be when the Lord comes back. Do you know tonight that when a Christian dies, they do go to paradise? But let me tell you something. That's not the extent of heaven. That's not the fullness of heaven. You see, God's people will be unclothed in heaven until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, the body. Yes, heaven will be a place of comfort, a place of peace, but we will never be totally settled in until we get the redemption of our body. That's not going to take place until the Lord comes back, till the rapture takes place. The resurrection will occur, the translation if we're living, and the resurrection of those that have died. But it still is the same thing. That's the redemption of the purchased possession, the body. Now there's another passage. We're told in Romans 8, verses 22 and 23. For we know, and Brother Glenn touched on this morning, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Brother Glenn did a great job on that lesson this morning. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the token. We have the guarantee promise by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is a guaranteed promise that our bodies will also be redeemed. Now look at that. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of with the redemption of our body. So now, redemption is threefold. The soul, the body, and now in Revelation 5, the earth. The earth. Do you know, you and I, there's two or three things I can say here. You and I would be the most miserable people on the face of this earth if we live forever in the state that we're now in upon this earth. We'd be miserable. Could you imagine, and I, by the way, it was an act of mercy with Adam's sin that God put the cherubim with flaming sword outside or barring man's ability to get to the tree of life. It was an act of God's mercy that kept fallen mankind with Adam and Eve's sin, that kept them from getting to the tree of life because they would potentially have lived forever in a fallen body, in a fallen nature. Do you know that would be hell on earth? To live forever in a fallen condition. We would be of all people most miserable if we live forever in this fallen nature that we now possess. And there's another thought here. We also would not be enjoying eternity if we had lived upon an earth that had not been redeemed, that had not been taken care of. Imagine forever having to dodge bullets. Oh, I know, glorified bodies, we wouldn't die. But imagine a world where there's fear. Imagine a world of insecurity. Imagine a world of threat. We would not be enjoying the epitome of eternity if we lived in an environment of threat. So God is going to remove all threat. He's going to clean up this earth. He's going to put an end to sin. And then, you know, people wonder about this. I know this is a Tuesday night message too. I can see it coming. People wonder about this. You know, we talk of heaven, and that's true. But listen, we're also going to be associated with earth living for 1,000 years too. 1,000 years is a long time, isn't it? Based upon the scriptures, we're going to be associated with earth living. Now I know that you have different ideas about the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And when the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, a lot of Bible scholars say the preparation of the place is the New Jerusalem. Which, and again, here's an area where we basically, you know, inject what we think and go with it. Could be that God's people primarily, maybe our relationship will be with the holy city, New Jerusalem, but since the Lord himself, though, will be ruling and reigning on this earth, we also have to factor in the fact that we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. So, regardless of how you slice it, whether we're dwelling, and some say that, you know, the holy city maybe hovers like a planet, satellite city over the earth or whatever, that's not to me as significant as the fact of our association with the king. During the millennium, I see the church as being involved with earthly life, ruling with Christ. Because he will rule on the throne of his father David. Now, according to Revelation chapter 5, he is the seed of David. But also something else, he is also a descendant of David. Now, think about that. That argues for his eternality. But it also argues for his humanity. He's the seed of David. You see, even Jesus told the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He was here before Abraham. So he's eternal. So he's the seed of David, and he's the offspring of David. The idea here is redemption. Now listen, you say, well, preacher, go back to this thing of redemption again. How is he able to redeem this earth? Well, I say this tonight. He's able to redeem it because he created it. Do you know that in... Okay, we're told in the book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, here's what the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. You see, the Lord will have all of the rights to redeem this earth because he's the one that founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He has right to redemption because of being creator, and he has rights to redemption because of being redeemer. Do you know the very same one that was born in Bethlehem, that was cradled in a mother's arms, that later worked in the carpenter's shop, that walked this earth for a brief span of time, perhaps 33 and a half years roughly, is the same one that literally spoke this world in existence. We're told in Colossians that all things were created by him and for him. How can it be the one who was virgin born was also creator? I love that old poem. I don't even know who wrote it, where they say the maker of the universe is man, for man was made a curse. The claims of the law which he had made unto the uttermost he made. His holy fingers formed the bough that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet on the hills on which it stood. He's creator. He has a right to redeem because he formed it. He made it. And it will happen. It will happen. He especially qualifies to finish redemption because of his precious blood. He qualifies to open the sealed book because he's creator. He qualifies to open the sealed book because he's redeemer. 1 Peter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, or from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He's qualified because he's creator. He's qualified because he's redeemer. When we talk about redemption tonight, let's understand something. The Old Testament presents redemption. You know that in the Old Testament, you know, I have one main desire in this church. You know what it is? Certainly get people saved. But my main desire is to build people up to where we understand and appreciate the Bible more than we ever have. Lay hold of these great truths. Do you realize the subject of redemption is found in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, God, as he laid out the laws for Israel, here's what God did. He provided a threefold redemption. A servant could be redeemed, a wife could be redeemed, and a land could be redeemed. God provided redemption in the Old Testament for Israel. And the reason why I mention this tonight is because there's a carryover. It ties in. It connects when we talk about the theme of redemption. Now to give you an example of that, I've got to hurry here. A servant. Now, do you know that in the Old Testament, if a person had no money, that person could sell themselves into servitude. But now, get this. A near kinsman could redeem that person from servitude, though. That's Old Testament economy. Here's what we read in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is. Actually, the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Here's what we'll do. I'm not going to apologize. I started to say, I hope it doesn't bore you if I read a lot of scripture, but forget about that. No apology at all. Let me just read you some good verses here. In the book of Leviticus, here's what it says. If a sojourner, I'm reading 25, verse 25, starting with verse 47. If a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, catch this now, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And if he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according to the number of the years, according to the time of a hired servant, shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain for a few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count him with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and he and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That's Leviticus chapter 25. Here's what I said. If a person didn't have money, they could sell themselves to be a servant. But now, a kinsman redeemer could come along and redeem them. Now tell me, my friend, what book in the Old Testament is all about a kinsman redeemer? So help me, I'll close my Bible and go home and quit teaching if you all can't remember this one. The book of Ruth. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. He redeemed Ruth. I'm saying tonight, Old Testament economy allowed for redemption of a slave, redemption of land, redemption of a wife, and I'm done. I'll be back on this Tuesday night. Here's my parting thought. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, pertains to the Lord Jesus. After the church is raptured out, taking that seven-sealed book, opening up those seals, and this earth will be redeemed. ISIS will not control this earth. No dictator will ever control this earth. Russia will never regain its power and take over this earth. The United States will never control this earth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And this to me, because listen to me, God has a great plan for this earth. I'll tell you something, He has a plan for His people Israel. I believe that God's covenant with Abraham, with Israel, is perhaps, well, it is a part of this seven-sealed book, because when all of these things take place, what is God doing? God is developing, planning, purging, working in Israel. And then when the Lord comes back at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, the saved out of Israel, 144,000 for sure, plus others, will go into the kingdom with Christ. They'll go into the millennium. And so that seven-sealed book pertains to Israel's future redemption as a nation. I hope and pray we stay on the side of Israel. I'm not too encouraged right now with our president, but I'll tell you one thing. Pray for Israel. God is not through with Israel. He's not through with them, because redemption is coming. Let's pray. Lord.